Scene 6 of The Guardian of the Threshold. A space not confined by artificial walls, but closed in by intertwining plants and forms, which spread themselves and send out shoots toward the interior. The whole is in violent motion, caused by phenomena of nature, and at times filled with storms. Capacius and Maria are on the stage when the curtain opens. Later appear Benedictus, Philea, Astrid, Luna, the other Philea, Lucifer and Ahriman, and beings which move in a form of dance representing thoughts. Finally, the soul of Felicia Balda. Benedictus, audible but not yet visible. Within your thinking, cosmic thoughts hold sway. Capacius, that is the solemn voice of Benedictus. His words are sounding forth in spirit here. They are the same that in the Book of Life are written for his pupils, and that for earthly souls are hard to grasp and even harder to experience. What region of the spirit land is this where words which test men's souls on earth can sound? Maria, you've been so long now in the spirit realms, in such a way that much has been revealed, and still this place remains unknown to you? Capacius, what lives here in its deepest self can easily be grasped by souls accustomed to the spirit. Each thing explains itself through something else. The whole is full of light, although the part seen by itself is often dark. But when some spiritual essence must unite with earthly being for creative work, the soul begins to lose all comprehension. Then, not alone the part, it is the whole that shrouds itself in darkness. Why at this place do words re-echo that can be found inscribed in Benedictus's Book for Men on Earth? This turns to riddles all that happens here. Benedictus, still invisible. Within your feeling, cosmic powers weave. Capacius, again, such words as are confided by Benedictus to his pupils on the earth, and here brought into being by his voice. Arousing powers of the dark, they stream throughout unending reaches of this realm. Maria, I feel already what I should experience within the boundless reaches of this place, and Benedictus is approaching me. He wants me to behold within this region what on the earth the soul can never understand, while dwelling in a body, sense endowed even with the discipleship of spirit gained. My soul must follow him, the teacher, into regions where words cannot be coined in human speech as symbols only of the beings here, but where in cosmic happenings he calls forth the script which offers to the soul a breadth of meaning of all worlds. I will, condensing forces of my soul, detach my inner self from earth existence, and so await what will emerge for me as revelation of wide regions of the spirit when I turn back to life on earth. It will be thought which, then, in meditation, will shine as knowledge in my inner soul. Benedictus appears in the background. Gain yourself in cosmic power of thought, and lose yourself through life in cosmic forces. Then you will find earth goals that can reflect themselves in cosmic light through your own being. Capacius, is Benedictus here himself in spirit, and not alone his words re-echoing? The spirit teacher carries earthly knowledge, then, to active life in regions of the spirit? What do these words here signify, to which on earth he gives a different turn? Benedictus, Capacius, you entered in your times on earth my sphere of life, though you were never consciously my pupil. Capacius is not here at this place. His soul does not desire to hear of him. Benedictus, you do not wish to feel yourself within Capacius, and yet you must, remembering him, behold him spiritually. For you, the strongly active force of thinking has unlocked spirit actuality in your soul body. Your soul life freed itself from all the dreaming play of thought in your earth body, yet it has felt itself too weak to wander forth with it from cosmic distances into soul depths. It felt too strong to see with it the light of spirit heights through darknesses of earth alone. I must bear company with everyone who has received the spirit light from me on earth, if he, with knowledge or unconsciously, has come to me as student of the spirit, and I must guide him further on the paths on which he has set out through me. You have, through soul sight, learned how to approach the spirit knowingly in cosmic spaces, for you can follow it, freed from your body. But not yet freed from thought, you cannot see your own true being in the spirit sphere. You can well lay aside your sense-bound body, but not the fine corporeal web of thought. You'll only see the world as fully real when nothing of your personality remains to dim the clearness of your vision. He only who has learned to see his thinking outside himself, just as the powers of seership behold the body as a thing apart, can penetrate to spirit actualities. Behold now thoughts in image form, in order that the image be changed through your seer forces into knowledge, such thoughts that shape themselves in space as beings, change then to forms that mirror human thinking. A Friendly Subdued Light by Leah, Astrid, and Luna appear in a glimmering cloud. Capacius and Maria leave the stage. Voices by Leah, Astrid, and Luna speaking in chorus. Now thoughts hover near, like weaving of dreams, arising as beings essential to souls, self-quickening will, self-wakening feeling, self-mastering thinking, emerge for the dreamer. As this resounds, Lucifer enters from one side, Ahriman from the other, taking their places on either side of the stage. Lucifer, in a strong, measured tone, emphasizing every word. Within your willing, cosmic beings work. From Lucifer's side, beings representing thoughts draw near. They carry out movements in a dance-like manner, representing thought forms corresponding to the words of Lucifer. Ahriman, also in a strong, measured tone, but roughly, the cosmic beings are confusing you. In accord with these words, thought beings from the side of Ahriman move and carry out dance movements, corresponding in forms to his words. After this, the motions of both groups are performed in unison. Lucifer, within your feeling, cosmic forces weave. The thought beings on Lucifer's side repeat their movements. Ahriman, the cosmic forces are misleading you. The thought beings on Ahriman's side repeat their movements. Then both groups move again in unison. Lucifer, within your thinking, cosmic thoughts hold sway. Repetition of the motions by Lucifer's group. Ahriman, the cosmic thoughts are disconcerting you. Repetition of the motions by Ahriman's group. Then four times a repetition of the movements of each group by itself and three times in unison. The thought beings disappear left and right. Lucifer and Ahriman remain. Philea, Astrid, and Luna come forward again out of the background and speak the words spoken before with the following alteration. So thoughts hovered near, like weaving of dreams arising as beings, essential to souls, self-quickening will, self-wakening feeling, self-mastering thinking emerged for the dreamer. Philea, Astrid, and Luna disappear. Capacius enters again, and after he has spoken a few words, Maria approaches, remaining at first invisible to him. Capacius. The soul lives out its life within itself, believing that it thinks because it cannot see thoughts spread out in front of it in space, believing that it feels because the feelings do not flash forth out of the clouds like lightning. It sees the realms of space, and it perceives the clouds above it. And were this not so, if lightnings were to flash and no eye looked on them, it would believe the lightnings must be in itself. It sees not Lucifer, from whom thoughts spring to life, and from whom feelings flow. Thus it believes it is alone with them. Why does it give itself to such illusion? O soul, give answer to yourself. Yet from where? Out of yourself? Oh, do not dare. Perhaps the answer, too, is not from you, from Lucifer. Maria. And if it were, why then should you not seek? Descend into the depths to find it there. Capacius. A being who is able to hear souls? Maria. The souls here are indeed not separate. That happens only when they use a body. Here each one hears himself in others' words. And thus you say it to yourself when I say this. Search for the answer in the depths. Capacius. Oh, in the depths, there threatens darkest fear. Maria, yes, truly it is there. Yet ask yourself, since you have forced yourself into its realm, if clearly it reveals itself to you. And ask of Lucifer, whom you are facing, if he is pouring fear into your weakness. Lucifer, all those who flee from me love me as well. The children of the earth have always loved me. They think, however, they should hate me. And yet they seek me for my deeds. They would have pined away in bounds of frigid truth throughout the earth's becoming if I had not sent down into their souls beauty as life's adornment. I fill the artist's soul with my creative power. Wherever men perceive the beautiful, it has its archetype within my realm. Now ask yourself, should you fear me? Maria. In Lucifer's domains, in truth, fear is not in its rightful place. The gifts he sends into men's souls are the desires, but certainly not fear. Fear comes from quite another sphere of power. Ahriman. In rank I was once equal to the gods, but they curtailed perforce my ancient rights. I wished to mold the human beings, so for brother Lucifer and for his realm that each should bear his own world in himself. But Lucifer could only show himself in spirit realms as equal among equals, a model only, never a ruler over beings. I wanted therefore to give strength to man, to prove himself to Lucifer as equal. And had I stayed within the realms of gods, this would have happened in primeval times. The gods, however, willed to be the rulers upon earth. They had to ban my power out of their realm into the deep abyss, that I should not empower men too strongly. Now only from this region am I able to send my mighty power toward the earth. It turns, however, on the way to fear. With Ahriman's last words, Benedictus appears. Capacius. He who has heard what these two mighty ones spoke from their places, sounding through the cosmos, has hereby learned the way to search and find both fear and hate in their own realms. Benedictus. In cosmic words now recognize yourself and feel yourself in cosmic powers of thought. Since you could see outside yourself what you were dreaming as your selfhood, so find yourself, and shudder not in future to hear this word that rightfully resounds and should confirm to you your own existence. Capacious. I may be long in future to myself again. Now I will seek myself, because I dare, beholding myself in cosmic thought, to live. Benedictus. And bind what you have won to everything you formerly achieved for world enrichment. In the background, Felicia Balda appears at Benedictus's side in her ordinary garb. Felicia, in a thoughtful voice, suitable for fairy tales. Once upon a time, there lived a light-filled child of gods. It was akin to beings who, with foresight, weave in spirit realms the web of wisdom. Cared for by Father Truth, the child grew up within its world to primal power. And when it felt the ripened will bestir itself creatively within its limbs of light, it often looked with pity toward the earth, where human souls were longing for the truth. Then spoke the child of light to Father Truth, "Men thirst, O Father, for the drink which you can offer them out of your springs." And Father Truth with earnestness replied, "The springs which I must guard let light stream forth from spirit suns, and only those may drink the light who never need to thirst for air to breathe. On light, therefore, I have brought up the child who feels compassion for the souls on earth and can engender light in breathing beings. So go, my child, and wend your way to men and lead the light within them, spirit-kindled, confidently forth to meet my light." Thereon the bright light being made its way to souls who feel their life by breathing. It found good men in numbers on the earth who offered its soul lodging joyously. In faithful love it turned their gaze unto the Father at the springs of light. Now when this being heard from human lips and happy human minds imagination as magic word, it felt itself received with joy by friendly human hearts. One day, however, there approached this being a man who cast on it quite strange and chilling looks. "I turn on earth the souls of men toward Father Truth, who tends the springs of light." Thus spoke this being to the unknown man. Then spoke the man, "You weave wild dreams in human spirits and deceive their souls." And since that day, which saw this come to pass, right many a man heaps slander on this being that can bring light into the souls that breathe. Philea, Astrid, and Luna, and the other Philea appear in a cloud of light. Philea, "Let the soul find itself by drinking the light in cosmic expanses, awakened to power." Astrid, "Let the spirit, by knowing no fear, feel itself in cosmic unfoldment, arising with power." Luna, "Let him who aspires to reach to the heights in life's firm foundations sustain himself strongly." The other Philea, "Let man struggle on to the bearer of light who unlocks for him worlds that liven and quicken glad senses in man. Inspired admiring will lead on the spirit to regions of gods that waken a radiant beauty in souls. Achievement consoles those feelings that dare to step toward the thresholds which strictly are guarded from souls that feel fear. And energy finds a will that grows ripe to face without fear the powers creative, sustaining the worlds." The curtain falls while all who are in the scene remain standing in their places. The end of scene 6.